Now, I wish to just explain, because this is an issue that the peace process of this happening for the affair. This is not a debt that is owed by officials of the Department of Health. This is money that is spent when delegations go out of the country and our missions pay for them, like for accommodation. And we have to claim the money back from those departments. And then we find that whether it's provinces or national departments, sometimes there's a lot of delay before we can pay us. Sometimes by the time of the financial closure, they've not paid us. And this is a major problem. But in any case, we would develop some system to find money. Now, in the comments made by the Auditor General during that report, you will see that even though debt management was raised as a problem, but the Auditor General made some comments basically pointing to improvements in our system from 0504, and that the system that was put in place was beginning to work. The other issue I would like to bring to our attention, which is the last two bullets. There was a sum of money that we have picked up in previous audits that was outstanding from the sum of the data set to the 90s, which was money that was again was owed by other departments. Now, we have entered into an agreement with the Treasurer General, with the National Treasury and Water General, about how to really try to recoup this money. And we did everything, including appointment of the policy body to say, to do paper, to follow the paper trail. At the end of that extensive exercise, we arrived at a point where it was felt that 21 million of this, there actually were no records that could be found. And therefore, the department should not spend more money trying to chase the state one, because then we're using good money to chase them. And at that point, the President and the Auditor General were satisfied with the message that we are taking. As I said, I would really like to stress this, because none of us present here belong to the generation that can explain some of this, because this is sometimes money that was spent in 93, 94, during those children. So, and some of it was actually money really spent, only that there were no paper records of that. So they then agreed that we should actually write something. The next slide really just points out other issues that the Auditor General has explained for us. The issue of vacancy rate, I'll come back to. The issue of supplement information, I think this was an issue that the Auditor General put up in the audit of all departments, basically signaling that the Auditor General was now going to focus a bit on performance auditing. And therefore, all departments knew that they have performance information. So they started noting social to begin to alert all of us to that. You will see that in the audit of 0708, they will pay particular attention to auditing after performance records of departments. The others about delaying the finalization of audits, this was not our problem. This was the problem related to the crisis. But as you will recall, all of the Auditor General's report has been released that during that period of time. The next slide, I'm just indicating that both on the debt management and the performance information, which were raised by Auditor General, very concrete measures that the department has taken. And I think the effectiveness of those measures, as a result of the 0207 audit, I think the members will be able to interrogate when we look at the 0207 audit annual report. But we are satisfied with the department that we put the necessary. Now, these are other areas that were in our program of action. As I said, once we got the audit, we have this program of action that helps us to follow the issues. Now, the first one on the ICT, this is work in progress. And this year we are going to have a detailed audit of ICT systems because our program should have been completed. The other area that we focused a bit on was on supply chain management. Largely because we are a decentralized system, and we've got these chasing issues, and then we've got head office. So procurement systems need to be coordinated throughout all that and make sure that every one of these cost centers acts in accordance with the provinces of the future. So it's an area that we continue to focus on. Then we looked at the issue of risk management, which is part of our audit, internal audit function. Then we spent a bit of time with our audit committee, and that's why I was anxious to discuss it as a very good thing. Because we identified some of the high-risk areas for this company. In this case, we had a nice estimator and decided that in addition to the attending board committee that we had, that they would have extraordinary special meetings focused in particular on looking at compliance with all the requirements, which I think has helped us working together with them to keep our eyes focused on some of the areas of challenge. Now the next slide we talk about upscale donations. Members also know that we do administer the upscale donations fund. Again, this was an unqualified audit, and here there was no method of empathy in America. But again, there was that one outstanding issue here, which I think is an issue that might still find in this year's audit, which is an issue that around, remember that from time in 2002, South Africa decided to assist money in hosting the Africa Cup of Nations. And that money was funded through the African Commission for the Prosperity Department of Sport. You also recall at that time that one of the reasons that South Africa wanted to do that is that we were bidding for the World Cup, Soccer World Cup of 2006. And it was important, therefore, to make sure that the African Cup of Nations in Mali is a success in order to show the capacity of Africa to host the World Cup. That was when we took out for 2006. So the decision for assisting them. Unfortunately, in the process of that, because they came to us around about January, the African Cup of Nations was to take in February. Then, when the money was transferred to the Department of Sport, then there was a delay on the side of the Department of Sport to give us very clear audited statements of the money that had been transferred to us. And because there were no audited statements, then the after donation fund could not show the truth, and this remains, and this has been a problem. The Auditor General has been involved in this. There is now a completed audit, but it pointed out some deficiencies, which I really want to stress are not deficiencies related to the Department of Foreign Affairs, but it's a problem because we administer the fund, and the Department of Sport is trying to work through some of these points that they identified. But again, I think it would be fair to point out that some of the issues related are to the speed with which the assessment has to take place. If I can speak to some of the issues, I've already spoken about the issue of the technology. Now, I move on to the next slide now, which is entitled Human Capital. Now, under human capital management, you will see that you've got a number of areas that you'd like to do. Organizational establishment, talent management, employment equity, organizational culture, and the others. So I'm going to. Now, this slide shows the establishment of this department. So let's just continue, because I can follow you. Perhaps the slide with the table, it shows the establishment of this department of foreign affairs. I would like to draw your attention to members of the. First of all, we had about 550 funding agencies. So remember that I but each year, and if you look at just below that, we indicate that during that year we advertised 389 of those positions. Within 385, out of those 385, about 167 internal promotions. So in effect, we got in 200 new more people in the department. Now, we can't bring people at a rate higher than that for two reasons. One has to do with just our physical capacity. I've already said we are working in Asia, and some of them are really in facilities that are not good and shocking complexes, flaws in the shopping which really does not provide a good network. But secondly, part of the problem is that there is a limit to how many people can bring into an organization, and at the same time guarantee that there will be a greater problem. Otherwise, it brings people and then they don't do anything, because there's no capacity to provide. So we've been doing this in a staggered manner. But I would also draw your attention to the very much fundamental, the unfunded data. Now, Now, these are basically things that basically sometime in 2001, the department produced an organogram which showed what would be the capacity of foreign affairs that we should build towards over, call it 8-7, in order to meet our international mandate. And that came with a big establishment of 2008. But there was always been an agreement with the president that this input is funded on an independent basis. So a lot of the provisions are not part. In fact, one of the decisions that was taken, because we always reflect the vacancies when in fact they are not true vacancies because there was no money to go. So in fact, when we present our annual, our strategic plan, we have now taken a decision to abolish this process and work on the ones, and only later when we fill all the other foundations, when we start the process of reopening our institution of our organization. The next 2 months, again, full of numbers. They just talk to a very simple fact, which is really looking at the employment equity target of the department. And you will see that the slides show that there is a significant improvement if you look at gender or you look at the racial profile of the department. We are doing not well like other departments on the issues of disability, although we are trying to push it to address them. At the time, 2006-2007, if you look at the figures, you think of that women in the management position in the department were about 80%. Of course, we are all now working towards the new set target around attaining gender equity. The next area that we wanted to talk about is really talent management. In our case, we started two new initiatives, or really three new initiatives. The first one is the introduction of the cadet program, where we think about 50 or so young people, present of university, take them to a program for a year. We started it during this financial year. We are now at the second group that is currently there. And most of those that are in the first group have been absorbed into the department. How much more to bring them in and make sure that we spend about a year investing them, rather than to look for them when we think that our head is with them. So that's the second one. The second one is that our HR team has been participating in outreach programs. In partnership with SADC, and we've been looking at all sorts of projects in this. We've gone to university, right in all the provinces, basically to address and talk to students. To make sure that they are attracted and see the possibility in the foreign sector. Initially, we started with universities, but as you can see, some of these initiatives, particularly the one that we deal with the universities, target also great chance as well, so that they begin to think about careers in international affairs. Let me stress that we try to have as wide and achieve as possible, so that we also one of the areas that we focused on into the next slide was the issue around employment equity and organizational culture. And here what we simply tried to do is how do we make sure that the culture of the organization is supportive of all these transformational efforts that we have to do. We pick up that there are two particular challenges. First of all, how do we make sure that as we recruit women in particular, also the environment in the department is supportive and therefore facilitates that we want to stay. And secondly, it is quite clear to us that the Department of Foreign Affairs is becoming younger. So we are recruiting a lot of young people that are intergenerational issues. And as we recruit more younger people, we also are recruiting people who are in their current age. So there's a whole host of things that we actually need to be looking at. So what we try to do is start a benchmark study throughout the department to look at the perceptions of the employees of the department on the organization itself. We got the results towards the end of 2007 in our planning session in October. spoke in November last year, we have reflected extensively on those results. We've now had a process of talking to each of the units of the department and trying to map out an intervention strategy. But the key issue is really how to improve the overall working environment in the department. And again, this issue, in the cadet program, we've been able to attract very able, competent, bright young people. But the key question is to what extent we succeed in retaining them within the organization. So part of this is really to try and see what are the interventions that we should make to make ourselves an attractive employer. The other issue that we focus on a bit is that I think sometimes we underestimate the stresses that are caused by, especially when people go and serve abroad, and also some of the stresses of adjustment when people return back to South Africa. And so we've been paying some attention in improving the capacity of our wellness program. So we focus on that in 2000. And of course, there are the standard elements that the public services sector can do, like, for example, care programs on HIV/AIDS, voluntary testing, counseling, and education programs. But the key is that I think when we have to present the threat plan for 08-11, because we've done a lot of work on this, we will be able to give you more details on what we will be doing moving forward, especially in that. Another area that we were focusing on is really labor relations. And with respect to labor relations, the issue that we tried to grapple with in 2006 was the long period of time it was taking us to close cases. And sometimes, largely because some of these cases of people were outside our missions, and therefore we needed to send teams to listen to the disciplinary hearings, and this was taking time, spending a lot of money. But one of the things that took during that time, which is the last bullet, was the appointment of a full-time society officer. And also we completely relooked all our systems within the labor relations. Now again, when it comes to the 2007-2008 report, we will report to you significant progress. This picture, we've given you now the picture that we can use in order to indicate to you that this was a problem and we were not yet with this state of affairs. But the picture has changed dramatically following what we're discussing. So this is no longer a new issue for us. I've already spoken about the foreign services presentation project that now is going to be. Now, one of the areas that members, particularly in the National Assembly, have been raising with us very consistently was the issue of improving the capacity of our training institutions, foreign training institutions. And so in 2007, we focused a bit on that. Now, there are a number of initiatives that the strengthening of our foreign service institutions, but there was also the establishment of partnerships between our institute and other institutes across the globe. We started participating on a regular basis in forum of all the other training institutes. And more importantly, we were active in establishing an African chapter of all training diplomatic training institutes. And as a result of that, we facilitated a certain of our meetings that was held in Mozambique last year of all the global training institutions meeting for the first time in Africa. The second issue is that as part of our EFTA program, we have established a strong partnership between the training institutions of South Africa, India, and Brazil, and the deans of our training institutions have mentioned that we are trying to coordinate programs. The last one is that we are working together with the United Nations Institute, which is called UNITA, which really oversees the training of diplomats on behalf of the United Nations. UNITA has now agreed that one of their main centers for training will be in South Africa, and therefore we will be establishing this partnership. The other element that we introduced was making sure that some of the programs that we run actually have got a regional dimension and in inviting further diplomats to participate. We also have been focusing on the quality. We've done detailed curriculum review during 2006-07. Of all our existing programs, we started that process and completed it. And in particular, what we're doing in the curriculum review is to make sure that our curricula reflects the shift in government focus in terms of the international work towards economic diplomacy. The second issue that the minister has told us is that the process to make the training in French in the department far much more widespread. So in fact, over a series of years now, we started a program where French essentially is going to be the second language to English, but every South African diploma should be English. I've already spoken about the target group. Now, having said all those things that they've tried to do, but there remains to be quite a number of challenges that every LSE institution that we still face. That is the issue of recruitment, the accreditation of the courses in the institute, issues of employment, equity, and the other issues that we face in this line. But suffice to say, all of these issues that we have presented here as challenges are actually issues that we have now started very systematic processes to address. And again, some of those will be clearer when we present our strategy. Again, this is some of the priorities that we have identified for 0708. And I can say all these priorities, now stemming from our assessment of the 0607, all these priorities that we have understood, we can't wait to be done. Now, that's what I wanted to say with respect to the corporate services component, really, and human resources in the department. Now, just a few words on some of the political issues in the program of the department, and I'll try to run through this very quickly. The first slide is just a repetition of the first, which identifies the areas that we're focusing on. Now, coming to the special policy action agenda, of course, during that period, we're focusing on our support to the 10 African countries. And I think it's basically everything that South Africa needed to do to support the location of the 10 African parliament in South Africa were done. And actually, even we went well beyond what we were in terms of the agreement with the agency, because every now and again we had to assist the 10 African parliament. The second issue that we focused on was the work on the African diaspora. We were asked by the AU to initiate a series of processes of engagement between the continent and the African diaspora, which will culminate in a summit that South Africa will host in October. So last year there was a ministerial meeting and there were a number of steps that we focused on consequences. An area that, again, we focused on was we're beginning to be conscious of the fact that we needed to pay some attention on the strengthening of SADC. And as a result of that, late in 2016, we hosted the extraordinary summit of SADC, which dealt with the issue of our integration agenda and specifically reaffirmed the roadmap for SADC integration. Now, this is the work that we began to attach a lot of importance to those 7 and continue to do 7 and in fact it's going to be the key work that will decide the success of SADC integration. So this is all been going on, and honorable members are familiar with a lot of the difficulties we face in this area. The issue of efforts that have not assisted this process. There's been differences even amongst the other countries about what route to follow in the integration process. There are a lot of difficulties that we have seen there. Of course, there's been some progress. For example, we at that time when we in 2007 we were spending a lot of time looking at the establishment of the standards brigade. We know that in 2007 in August 2007 the standards brigade was actually formally launched. So there are some things on the political and security side of integration within standards. Things are moving well. The big difficulty is only integration of the economy, and that's what we want to focus on in the coming year. One of the areas that we spent a bit of time on was the implementation of Nepal. And really here in 2007, the main issue that we're focusing on is that South Africa has assumed the leadership role with respect to the articulation of Nepal continentally and also with respect to the representation of Nepal all over the world. But we felt that in South Africa we did not have a coherent domestic strategy of the national application of Nepal in South Africa. And hence we started a series of consultations which culminated in the establishment of what we call the Nepal Implementation Strategy for South Africa. which was covered for a national strategy. Then the African Relations Fund, we outlined the some of the key areas that they supported on campus. And at this security and stability in the continent, honorable members will remember that it is going to be second last bullet. In fact, the last few bullets. Really, the most of the focus is on 607 of our faster away from Congo, way in Burundi, and way in the DRC, facilitating the United States. I think we all have a sense of what progress was achieved in Congo. But that, those are the areas that we're focusing on. Now, so moving now from the African Union and coming to Southern Cooperation. Now, the talk is turning over basically our 10 members of the Troika of NAM when Egypt took over, that they will host the next NAM summit in 2009. But we continue to work as an active member of NAM. We had the first summit of Israel in 2006. We know that we then followed with the summit that was in South Africa in 2007. And in October this year, there will be the third summit of Israel, which was hosted by India in October 2008. But in 2007, we participated in the Brussels summit. And we outline here what we regard as some of the major achievements, particularly the area of working together on biofuels, the issues of coordinated strategies on agriculture, which obviously helps us in the WTO negotiations, and also the issue of maritime transportation. Then we also started the preparations for the summit of the Africa-Asia NAC, which summit is going to take place in South Africa in 2009, but in 2006, the chief of that project is in Africa, and there will be a ministry of education. I've already spoken about NAM. With respect to the Commonwealth, what we spend a lot of time doing in 2007 was to assist Uganda. Uganda has approached us for assistance to help with their hosting the shoulder, which they successfully hosted at the end of 2007. So that was a lot of work that we did. Now, again, moving on to Southern Cooperation, you will recall that during the period of 2006, we also were there on the G77 at times. And there were a number of responsibilities we had during that time, particularly engaging the UN on the issues of management reforms, the reforms of the field of assessment, and also reviewing the mandate of the constituent part of the United Nations. Our assessment is that South Africa is charged with responsibility, very, very important. Now, there were other things in the global system of government that we focused on in 2006 around the reform of the United Nations. Instrumental already is of the review of the mandate, but generally the whole reform process within the United Nations were active with that. I think this member the president has requested to review with the country. Now, one of the areas that was an area of focus for us was the Middle East has always been an ongoing area of concern for us. Now, in 2007, we suffered a greater setback with in power in terms of our engagement with the United. And that's just a continuation of the country. And this was the result of significant changes in such development within the Palestinian community. You'll recall around this time, Hamas won the elections in Palestine, and then there was a lot of cooperation by the Western world, and then all the problems that subsequently happened in Palestine. And those problems that I've already said continue, but we continue to focus open in line with all the participants with the actors of Palestine, including Israel. And of course, if I can just say, as a result of that continued engagement, the TLO, the Palestinians insisted that South Africa should participate in the meeting that was hosted at America late last year in Egypt, and we also have participated in November, December last year in the donor conference that was hosted by Israel. So we continue to receive, all we are pointing out, the terrain has suddenly become very far much more complex. again, there are certain obligations the country has in terms of counterterrorism. The Department of Foreign Affairs coordinates and chairs the government interdepartmental committee that focuses on this, that includes a number of arms of countries. And South Africa, indeed, in 2007, led the only obligation in terms of closure reports that came to the government in line with the existing regulations of the law. In the area of disarmament and non-proliferation, this year, 2007, was particularly a very good year for us. We were asked to chair the fifth regular session of the General Conference in Vienna. We also were elected president of the Conference on Disarmament. We were nominated to chair the Nuclear Suppliers Group for the year 07 or 08 strategy and in 06, 07. And then there were a number of meetings in the area of disarmament and non-proliferation that we participated in. And a lot of this work has really been done through Ambassador Nunes, who participated in most of this committee and some of the now, 06, 07 also saw us being elected into the next slide into the Security Council of the World, which we started in January 07. Now, of course, we could not give a substantive report on this. Suffice to say that during the period under review, we also assumed for the first time the presidency of the Security Council in March 07. And we will give a detailed report before the rest of the work was covered in 07 August. I think when we give the annual report on our assessment to the General Assembly, we'll give a detailed report on what we achieved during the course of 07 and the early part of 08 in our engagement as members of the group. The next area was the area of human rights. You will recall one of the major achievements in 2006. 0506 was really the convention of the Human Rights Commission into the Human Rights Council and the establishment of a new energized framework for human rights globally. South Africa was one of the founding members of the new Human Rights Council. We continue to be that council. And I think we've been very active in making sure that the council correct a lot of the problems that we have picked up in the work of the commission. And at the heart of that, there are two major problems. One was the politicization of human rights. And by that, we meant that countries, especially the powerful countries, would always pick on countries when there were political issues with them. And start lifting up the human rights issues, what they call human rights issues, after they were analyzed, were largely because of political differences. The second issue that we have to focus on the content of the Human Rights Council, is the fact that a lot of particularly the developed world tend to look at the political rights far much more, when in fact we have been calling for a far much more balanced view between both the political and the developmental or economic rights. So really, most of the work, if you analyze our work, is around making sure that those principles are tied to the work of the Human Rights Council. The children, again, 0607, South Africa, chairing the group session. This was largely work done by the National Church and South Africa and the Department of Foreign Affairs of Australia supporting us. But I think the Department of National Church has very important talent, but we are satisfied that we're going to work. During that period, again, that was characterized by the stalemate, which continues today in the WTO. And again, it was around the issue of agriculture and around the so-called issue of fiscal policies of new generation issues. That was what it was. And South Africa, again, was participating in that led, of course, by the WTO. I won't get into some of the details of the WTO. Now, I want to slide on the North-South dialogue. With respect to that, we would really like to just highlight maybe three major issues. Apart from the work we've been doing with all the major countries in terms of certain bilateral political and economic relations, there was the issue, the work of the G8, participated by South Africa and the leaders of the G8 as part of the Outreach Fund, together with China, India, Brazil, and Mexico. Secondly, we took a decision to join the OECD Development Center, our country's decision to be that period. And the third one I'd like to talk about, it was the deepening of our engagement with the EU leading to the establishment of what we now call the EU of our strategic partners. But the importance of the Obama was to make sure that all the EU member states ratified the Trade Development Cooperation Agreement, the TDCA, as a framework for engagement for South Africa, and therefore allowing all the other chapters that were not in operation since 2000 to begin to treat them. This is far much more a bit of detail on that, also in that issue, but really I think that is the main focus of what we're going to keep this slide. Now, on the bilateral relations, that is stressed that what we then did was to open meetings in Cotonou, in Benin, and Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso, as I've already indicated. Now, in 2007, we started preparing also for the opening of this in Niger, in Miami, in Niger. That is has been opened in Bissau, the ambassador in Guinea, the ambassador is already there. In Juba, we're opening in the south a consulate, and that process is still ongoing. And in Mauritania, also, we now have our first ambassador with the and I've already indicated those missions in foreign states in that particular. Now, one of the eight areas in the department is really the work of our three programs. And I think here, overall, was the facilitation and improvement of our system of dealing with state and official relations. In the IR report, we give a lot of detail of what districts they were there, but all the facilitators are considered the first ceremonial event, and there were 95 state districts. And of course, facilitated also making sure that the diplomats are calling for us to provide again, on the public diplomacy side, one of the areas that we had to focus on, of course, our public diplomacy, was there to focus on the 2010 issue from a communication point of view. We mentioned that we also had both protocol and our public diplomacy to facilitate the inauguration of the 2010 World Cup, coinciding with the summit of the EU, and we can see the number of businesses facilitated through our three protocols. Another area that the increasing in importance in the department of our greater distinguished and serious position for chief director right now is really the other part. And largely this is related to the fact that with the integration of our experience in the global community, our teams are beginning to become much more mobile, and as a consequence of their mobility, sometimes they find themselves in unfortunate cases or in the good cases, but at the wrong time. So our consular services have to be ready to assist. And during the period that I was in, you recall that there was the war between Iran and Lebanon. We had to support the hospital and start up in Lebanon. We had to get our friends to assist them to move out. You recall also that in the global university, we had to see a lot of problems. Again, we facilitated that. There were issues of school children who were caught up in the process of the child in school and again the facility to the consular services to do that. Then there is the perennial problem of subaction prisoners in the abroad, largely some of them unfortunately because of drug smuggling, and again our consular services, particularly in Asia and South America, very high number, so we had to deal with some of that. Then there's been the problem that we've been working on that we've been spending a lot of time on to talk to them about the South Africans that are abducted in Iraq. And also, of course, one of the functions of our consular services is to make sure that the legalized documents of South Africans when they need to probably go to the consular services or settle for trust and legal. So again, we just indicate the number of people. So all of the members, I tried to try and run through this, but that's what is contained in this annual report, essentially. And overall, our assessment was that we applied a level to the making sure that in the annual report, we take that certification to the budget. That was given for us for that. And some of the shortcomings that we did have, that was reported on, would have been the issues that we took up in 8708, and as I said, some of them would be able to present progress report when we came with the 8719 annual report. But some of them, those that have got longer this time, we will be able to give you a sense of what concretely we will be doing when we present the subject in this area. We should be able to have a good example of this for the second, I'm sure that many things that we get from that we will be doing the questions again. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. G. Members, may you ask the commission in its role of directing now to attend to ask questions. I will ask the last one, but please don't take much time. If you check them, I will end. Okay, I see. Perhaps before we start, I need to welcome Honorable Priscilla Hermann, who has joined the last lab, because she was in somewhere. She herself is the chairperson of our left committee and left back in public enterprise. I'm sure you know that from the Somali Council. You are welcome. I saw one hand in the back. Is there any other day? Please, another one, Dr. Thomas. Honorable Dominic, is there? Okay. We have for Ms. Ember, Ms. Chen, Ms.
Dominic.
Ember. Oh, and one to me at the back. In that order.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. First thing is that I just want to bring your attention about the phrases that they do not write the phrases. So when you ask questions, we refer back to a page, and I don't see phrases, so I'm informing myself. I cannot refer the members to a page or the department. My first question, Honorable Chairperson, is on the consolidation of the African agenda. The question here is, it seems that the subject has identified the site for the construction and permanent seat of the Pan-African Parliament. Where is that? Thank you, that's the one question. The other question is on human capital management challenges. One of the bullet points states retention of employees. If we can just have clarification on that, what makes it difficult to keep the employees on that? Thank you very much. The next question will be on employee wellness. Employee wellness. Last bullet point. Set, develop and implement a life skills program for teenage children of GFA employees. It's a beautiful action. It really has, I think this is beautiful action. But I would like to know, how do you choose to whom or to whose children you give? Because I'm sure you can't give to everybody at the same time. So how do you select? Thank you. And then my last question on the chairperson is on the Auditor General's report 2006-2007. I understood what the DJ said about not being able to recover the 31 million rand and the expenses that go within to show that anything not outstanding. But then I have a concern that there have been people in charge or positions to account. And surely when we work with money, especially government, we know that you have to put the effort there. So I have a concern here that such a large amount of money can, I know it comes from, they have been ordered by National Treasury to do that, I see that, but I'm really concerned that such a large amount of money can just be written off like that. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you,
My question is, I'm in a position in some organization about the see that so many of this direction is made with all those other countries. Okay. Now, under our department, do we have the task team to see through all this agreements in Eastland that it would happen when he goes aboard. And he hears this company, he says, we had this human exchange and whatever the story, but we certainly need to implement those of the agreements which we signed in the ship. And the city, I'd like to know from the department, do you get cooperation from the other department as well? Because, for example, like we had this culture exchange, or one typical example, like the ship, we had some kind of agreement with the China relations, this 10-year anniversary of the diplomatic relationship. Celebration activity or something like that. And obviously, this still has to go down to all the different departments to liaise or liaison for all these activities to happen. And it seems to be that some of the communication channels being breaked down, so some of the planning activities have to cancel at the very last minute, so which is very unfortunately, that case didn't happen. So, and then the second question, which I just want to clarify, last time when we had the board visit to Belarus, and I hear that the ambassador was talking about his her residential rental was high up to $120,000 per month, and really it's quite a shocking to us. And we were questioning about, in that case, why can't we rather buy it? The residents that have been a long run, which is for the managed to maybe I hear the people which is wrong, so I'd just like to ask them to clarify that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me first thank the presentation by the DG, by the good presentation. Minimize the question. Looking at the volume of paper. But in any case, the question, few questions that we'll ask and then the rest will link to comments here. One will be a general one. I was embarrassed on stage in my constituency, which is in Ghana. Somebody asked me, what is the difference between an ambassador, consulate, head of mission? To be honest, I couldn't answer, I don't know. In some countries you find that there's a mission or a higher mission or what. So I lack that knowledge, physical knowledge, but I'm sure it's that this week. Unfortunately, this is 0607, so maybe there might have been some progress. In some of the, for instance, on the issue of the vacancy rate, both in the head office and in the mission, maybe there's some substantial progress that you can fill us in. I just got a slight concern on the issue of terrorism and South Africa being part of that structure. Taking from where we come from with regard to terrorism. And do we have the same understanding that makes South Africa comfortable to participate in those structures that fight against terrorism, so-called terrorism? I don't want to mention Iraq, because it's a federal terrorism. What kind of mass destruction, but there's nothing so far. So South Africa comfortable. Also the Doha negotiation, what does really, we cannot just let the big boys do as they please. What to happen? What is South Africa's position? Where can we take these things forward? I know I won't ask the question about cheese and on our comments here to table. The state protocol readiness for 2010. I'm sure from Pretoria to Cape Town, so far we're having a problem with airport handling. Are we really ready for the state protocol for 2010? This is a real issue. One which is also perspective, but I'm sure that DG will be able to answer. The deployment into foreign missions, I'm sure we have no interest in the matter, but we're going to ask, what criteria is used? Which test, I try to say, is no. So and so can represent this country, but this country is run by a certain government, a certain organization. Then what informs us to say, you know, so and so can represent this country? The last one is our property in foreign country. I had the privilege of going to Germany at one stage and met some colleagues and friends. The property that was unused that belonged to South Africa. And they've been trying in vain South Africans to use that property. Unfortunately, we told them that we cannot assist them, but the opportunities are available to us now. What happens there? Can South Africans, can we have these South Africans use the weather for us, then, or what have you, use this property? Maybe the teacher might know these colleagues who are there. And lastly, at one stage, I remember the teacher was telling us that some of the properties they're going to dispose. Can they give preference to South Africans when they dispose this property? That they feel they're not going to be able to spend.
But I thought they were going to take the fight.
No, thanks. That's why I like. Thanks for this opportunity. You're dealing here with a very broad and wide area. I don't want to fall into a trap of going into all these areas. You know, I think I must be having my head and But just to make a follow up on what your comments are said, you know, about this posting to the mission. I hear what you're saying. I think it should also be our concern as well related to the political question. But we also need to understand so that if one has to be on the podium and talk about this, we also need to inform the question. You have the ruling party, you have the position, and when you put people for imposing, whatever you call it, you don't necessarily take from the ruling party and support that. But this security thing, this security stuff, is what you create and want to ensure that really you're taking steps to ensure that, you know, the security clearance. Part of the reason why we're concerned about this, you know, may have heard about the unfortunate revelations about our security agency, where people are allowed to run our country, have a say on our political rights. And ultimately, people have never gone through those processes, you know. You just take somebody somewhere, put him there or her there to run our country. We need to ask this question because we know that even in posting, we do have members at South Africa and that's not starting with the political affiliation. So we if you can get just an understanding around that. And secondly, sir, you may have noticed that few weeks ago we were addressed by the president of France, Nicolas Sarkozy. And he painted a very good picture of how generous are they in terms of promoting peace and stability. Not only in South Africa, in Africa, in the world, in the whole. But somewhere in Africa, in places like Cote d'Ivoire and in many other areas, we hear that there is not a really good progress towards unifying people so that they can go to, you know, projects and stuff like that. And there was a rumor that French people were hacked. They said me also understand what their role is, particularly around the what I call a war. Then last is that the government will waste your time at home. Do you enjoy good cooperation from the TCI occasion in terms of cooperation, especially outside the country? Not because I have anything to point out to, but just for our understanding, so that when we talk to other people, we can have an understanding of what is happening. And then lastly, a silly one now. A mild one. I hear you say that you said the department is trying to encourage South African department to use French language. But why do you prefer French over French? If I hear that French is increasing
my question is the curriculum for Kajir, wouldn't it perhaps be better started in like grade 9 rather than we're waiting for the university, because universities tend to behave before for the children. Let's have some of these subjects in grade 9. The question that I also heard was the one that was asked by one of Mr. Kamede. Some of these words, how to meet gender equally between the particular. There's something wrong with our education system. I was there. Because children are no longer being taught, they are told to go and reset. But where do they reset if they are out in the rural areas of what we all work on, and they've never even heard who the minister of foreign affairs is. I had a problem over the weekend when children wanted to know about at least 9 ministers of departments. Why do they go in the rural areas? I promise that I'll give them some information over there. So if this information could be in the curriculum, right, and then we have also asked a question that I will ask about the second day of the week. Would it be better if that is open to say the school should choose the second day of the week, get prepared, rather than impose it on the people? You don't see everybody perhaps in the area who would be prepared to use that name, because there are several sort of community structures that would prepare other languages. Take the U.S. for instance, despite that in the north, mainly German Arabic countries, you go down to the south, you find the current kings and all that. Okay. And then the other question, when it comes to cooperation, the basic issue of the economic and infrastructure development, which is more attractive in our country, would is our foreign affairs look at starting with the people who are prepared to go and assist there with the economic and infrastructure development and negotiate along those lines? Because in most cases, we go there, we are still seeing extra rich and then we follow the bed into the countries. Yet we are not reaching the just as poor as they are. But because they see in what we present, the infrastructure which is good and we present a good piece of the economic situation. Then it would be better if we say something to go ahead there in the economic and infrastructure development. I particularly have to do in GRC, and we know that what it is. And then the question also of related to GRC is that is everything that has come from.
Thank you, Member Kono, and thank you very much. Member, none of you took my question. So
you are
I just want to add something to the questions by Honorable Kono and Honorable Gamet. In actual fact, I would also want to be informed. If these people whom we caught outside our country are vetted, who did vet them? Point number two, still on that. Different countries post their people here. It is their choice as to who should go where to fight. As a country, when they come in here, do we check, some travel to check on our own, taking our time to get to know who is who among all those people who are posted here? Number two, question two. Chief, if I were to assume the numbering of these documents, I would say we tend to what would be the number five, page five, where you talked about some of the factors that contributed to the under expenditure, and we have fees to the international organizations. Now, my understanding, which may be wrong, is that if you happen not to pay some fees to a particular organization you have affiliated to, it's either that organization has become very much addicted in its workings, or it begins to bring in issues which have got nothing to do with the purpose for which that organization was formed, or it has just become useless. It is about to go defunct. Now, what is it that led us to find ourselves having a dead wish in the among some of the issues that raised, or even others far from those? Secondly, on the question of the Cadet problem, I assume when the department throws its weight into it, there is a possibility of identifying them, trying to mentor them and assist and so on until they complete their training they undergo. Now, do we have their placement at the department? Two, in case we do have and they accept our placement, do we have some agreement with them as to for how long will they have to take the department? And if they opt out, do they undergo a debriefing session? Three, we talked about what is one of the objectives of the Foreign Affairs Department to strengthen Cadet, which I accept and feel very proud and happy about. But you see, within that Cadet, there's one country which worries me, all the time. And she's not alone, there are other three. The good thing is that the other three are not part of Cadet, and that is Botswana. Now, that country, together with Senegal, with Egypt, and the Kenya, where do we go to international forums? Be it the AU, be it Cadet itself, be it Cadet. They all the time treat things that come from South Africa with skepticism. Why do they do that? I don't know. I may not expect the Jews to do some medical. But then, as a country, are we even some ways of trying to cop them into coming along with that? Well, I'm not saying they should all the time agree to, no. Let them reason things out, let us debate. But they can't go and say, we won't tell them anything because we were born here today. I don't think that kind of an approach. Lastly, two more. I think it was about 2-3 weeks ago. I learned that our people who were posted in Chad, Yamena, I think, the government, when those rebels attacked that country, they became stranded, which I understand. I mean, they would never know that they were attacking tomorrow. But then when it came to evacuation, the first three were evacuated. Actually, all of them were evacuated by first, but the first three were happened to get the first bite. And the last one got the last bite, I mean, in terms of our people alone. Now, one thing I don't understand is it because we were not able to do anything ourselves, or because France as early as we could ourselves, or what were the best that we could do that? Lastly, I learned that the Americans in Iraq fear most happened, they say they are very sad. I didn't know that way. I got the meaning of the thing after I read about it. And then last week I was listening to news in Radio Moscow, Russia. They said there's one photographer who was killed, and also the wheels in the end. Talked about it, several from you. One photographer was killed in last, and I think you mentioned it in Katibosu. And the department was trying to ask you. And then the question is, how do they get this? Because I know our country does not approve of the war in Iraq. How do they get this? Now, it may happen, perhaps they might go there, I don't know, mercenary or where, but then when they get caught, like in this case, which is unfortunate, the department has, of course, for veteran purposes, come in. But before that, how do these people work their way in? And if indeed it's possible that Americans might be caught because they happen to be confronted with someone using a weapon, you can say, how do they get there?
The Human Rights Council, in South Africa, the council must be responsive to the needs of the poor, maintaining gender issues and the further empowerment of women and making the right development and the issue for all. How do they view in South Africa view? How does the council take it?
Thank you very much. I think we can end over to the issue. Do you want the second part?
If you could add to the United States of Africa issue.
Oh, I think you could come up with that.
Mm-hmm. The DJ.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
When a delegation to South Africa in Ghana, which will happen sometimes in Canada, across all the states, if for example they go, a delegation goes to London. Now, our, for example, for diplomats who are based here in South Africa, in our budget line, you will see a line of debt for payment. Because there are certain items that they buy in South Africa, they are exempt from our foreign. For example, they are also exempt from certain rates and taxes. And the same benefits sometimes are given by other countries for diplomats. The consequence of that is that also some of our missions, because of the volumes of South Africa, of South Africa's shackles, our mission to negotiate better deals. So you will find that if you went to pay our spend yourself, you'll say $150. But if it's booked to the mission, first of all because the mission does not pay taxes, but secondly because the missions have coordinated and they've negotiated certain prices and they use that particular offer, they pay $50. So as a result of that, there has been a general tendency to encourage that those good things are done for our nation, for those reasons. But then the idea is that if a delegation goes, then they will indicate their cause, because there is a safer transaction. Then our nation thereafter approaches our higher position that claims the money, whether from parliament or from province, or from Mpumalanga or the Limpopo or whatever, or from the Department of Transportation. Then the department of course would want us to provide the confirmation that the money was spent in terms of the details of the invitation. And then the department then paid back the department of course. Now so it happens also with provinces. So what happens is that sometimes those processes are delayed. Sometimes because of inefficiencies in other departments. But of course you know that when departments are under financial pressure sometimes have no problems because remember that even if you vote for us for 3 billion, the Treasury does not give us on the cash of interest 3 billion. They eat and agree with us how much we will transact as on a fortnight basis. So there's a piece of money in the cash flow. So the department sometimes if they are in a bit of a cap for the cash flow, then we look at who can we delay paying. And it's easy for them to delay paying another country. And that puts us in trouble. We raise this to the Treasury because it's always faced the issue. So that's how this comes about. And then sometimes you find that later on they came, but by that time, the auditor general has already picked up this problem and changed the issue. So that was it. Then the issue of the seat of the Pan African Parliament is going to be in housing in this way. And the idea was to pick up the plot of land that belongs to the so it's going to be a new trend, and where it is now, last year, as you may recall, there was an international competition, so the architects have been chosen for the day. And I think the Treasury, in the announcement of the budget for this year, the Minister of Finance indicated an allocation for the commencement of the day. Can I just deal with the issue of the language expression? First of all, no. The issue of French is just what we are looking at as the Department of Commerce. There is one persuasive reason why we thought, and just to say to Mansoor that it does not relate really to the choices of language of different regions in the country. We are just talking about officials in foreign affairs. If you go to other countries, for example, if you go to Russia, in Russia you must have three languages. The Russian diplomat must know three languages before they can actually be accepted, even employed in the Department of Foreign Affairs of Russia. Now, it can be any sort of combination of languages. The reason for us to show French has to do with the centrality of the African agenda in our policy. And the fact that most of West Africa, the majority of people in West Africa are French. And so we then thought that in order to address the issue of really our just effectiveness in the continent, when the next big language I think the Honorable Member Umfolo is right that correct about the issue raised of changes to say the decision of the department is that once we consolidate the next language that will encourage people to move is changed. And again, it's related to the fact that one is the goal of the language that is not the language and the language is the language of the country. So, but this for now, remember that when you are having people in terms of language, people who send people to Papadera, they go and then send our money to school. But what we're talking about is that they are going to go to the next day and go and learn Arabic. But what we were trying to do now is to make sure that there's another baseline language that all the 2,000 employees of foreign affairs over a period of 5 years must actually be competent. And then people get paid. Now, you raised the issue around the agreement with other countries. Do we get cooperation from other departments?
This is a very big problem for us, Kavish. In fact, they went and go over the foreign affairs, they were discussing it. We had, just about 2 weeks ago, the meeting that included all the spheres of government, all the national departments, to look at the corruption. Because when we presented to our cabinet sometime in July last year, on January last year, there was an analysis we did of our international work, and we said the biggest object of South Africa now to move to a higher place in terms of our effectiveness of international work is lack of corruption. And the structures of government within national departments, so it's an area of focus. And secondly, it also relates to the fact that we don't seem to have a coordinated view about the management of the agreements that we have. Now, there are some agreements that are serviced well. There are agreements that are really, really not serviced. One of the problems that we see that is that if departments send very junior people right at the time of the negotiation agreement, they tend to say the same thing that the agreement tries to do. And the department, I must say, that has been very good in our own experience of dealing with the finance and cooperation as in the South African policy. And the reason they've been good is because on the very first time when they are negotiating the agreement, they tend to have it. We then have a strategic view about this country, what can we benefit, what can we offer them. And so by the time they reach the agreement, they have thought through what the elements of that agreement are, and therefore they move on to them. Whenever the department has changed an agreement that they find in China, and then want to use the same format of the agreement to find it for one, it's obviously that. And then you run into problems with the country. Are there something in government that was meant to do? And that is also why we as a result of that discussion around coordination of international, we then arrived at a decision that we needed to start coordinating better. And we decided to choose China as the test case. Now, last year I wrote a letter to all the provincial districts, essentially saying all China must be succeeded until the meeting of interest. It was not easy, but we reached that agreement, and thankfully people cooperated. We have now listed that up because we've met with all the problems. We put a very clear framework of what it is that we're trying to do in China. And therefore, if the premier, for example, of the Pope wants to go to China, sometimes we negotiate and say, okay, you will go to China. The idea is not to stop anybody. But if you say sometimes, if you're trying to do this, but no, we'd like you to go to do we want to also to do the following? Because after all, when people go, they don't agree. And so they can't go for it now, and they must engage in other activities. And the same, the head of international for parliament participated in that. So we're trying to improve our community. I think it's something that we're past 10 years we have not done, and the truth of the matter was that provide some of this disorganized approach to international relations, largely because people have two levels of practice about us. And our argument is that we've gone past that phase that people are beginning to treat us as their competitors, and they treat us as ruthless as they deal with other competitors. And we can see a lot of signs of that, and therefore we must get our heads. So that phase is what we're. I mentioned around the issue of when we're talking about the assets that we've taken a conscious decision to begin to move towards buying some of the property. And this is largely related to the issue of fiber. I don't think the took of $100,000 to manufacture. But nevertheless, I think it is fair to say that there are rentals that are there. We've got rentals in New York. I think that probably is the highest. It's about $30,000. Now, quite yet, as a result, we're trying to maintain some of those areas where we know we will always be there, that we must find the property. And that's why I was saying that we've changed our population portfolio with interesting and we're trying to focus. Now,
Honorable Kabir, let me start by saying the once the ambassador is appointed, the ambassador, first of all, the ambassador is he tells us can choose a person to the ambassador. The first thing that we do, we have to write to that person and take what is called the passport. We can say to the person to say they are ready to go. They go through a certain process. We go through a certain process. So I can assure you that we might make mistakes, but there is a process that is followed when the country head tells us what certain process is going to happen. There is a certain process that we go through that includes ourselves. And at the end of that process, we then make a recommendation to the person. But normally countries are very careful about choosing a market for the simple reason that after the countries have granted us, then there is a letter that this ambassador is going to present to the head of state of that country. And the first thing is to read that letter. The president of your country is essentially saying to the other president, this is a person I'm sending, we instructed. When you want to talk to me, you talk to me through him. So it is not a simple reason. So countries tend to be a bit careful about it. Of course, it is in the nature of it, okay, in spite of that letter, there are certain things they speak directly to each other, obviously. But nevertheless, he basically says when this person talks there, he will talk on my behalf. And that is, so I'm just trying to say the first thing is that there is a process that will show. So that is. And the people that will carry that letter can present it to that head of state. That is the secret to what we call the ambassador. Now, in the case of Commonwealth countries, Commonwealth countries have got their own system. It's the same thing, but an ambassador in a Commonwealth country is called the High Commission. And it just has to do with the Commonwealth. That is why the ambassadors of Zimbabwe to South Africa were High Commissioners until Zimbabwe left the Commonwealth. And now Ambassador Morris is Ambassador Morris. Before that was High Commissioner. So the same thing, our ambassador to Zimbabwe was the High Commissioner because it was in a Commonwealth country. But now it's ambassador. So it just has to do with the United. Then there are in certain countries where you find that there is also a lot of trade-related work. There is a lot of consular work that is involved. Then you find that countries have not only one office, they've got a number of offices. For example, in the U.S., you've got the main office where the ambassador is to Washington. Then we've got an office in LA, we've got an office in Chicago, we've got an office in New York. And the people who head those offices are called the consul general. And those offices are called the consul. Now, consul general are not the representatives of the president. And consul general report to foreign affairs through the ambassador. They are actually extensions of our embassy. But in any country we've got only one person who really has the authority to speak on behalf of the president and of the president. Now the consul general tend to also have areas that are identified for them. For example, our consul general in Los Angeles will cover most of the West Coast. Things like that. Many countries here, consul general in Cape Town, in Johannesburg, and you find that the one with the Cape Town covers the Northern Cape, the one with Johannesburg covers the Pampa and Mpumalanga. And that has to do with it. Only the countries where we've got consul general ourselves is India, and which is in Mumbai, because the ambassador is in New Delhi. It's China, which is in Shanghai, with the ambassador is in Beijing. It is Germany, which is in Munich, and then I've already mentioned the United States. In the Brazil is in Sao Paulo.
Nigeria was one in Lagos because the ambassador is in Abuja, and this is the DRC for the ambassador in Cape Town and for the Court of General. Now, so can we work on that basis? Then, the other things that are sometimes confusing that we show up in the annual report, we sometimes talk about the chancellery and we talk about the embassy. The chancellery is essentially the building. The building where you are operating your mission. And when we talk normally about the embassy, we talk about the functionality of the entity. So we say we've got an embassy, it's like a thing we talk about with the building together with the people who are working there. Whereas the function of the country. Now, do we have a common understanding of the issue of terrorism? I think you are correct on the Canada. Basically, what has happened in the United Nations have got on the definition of terrorism. And the difference comes because countries like us were made from the National Liberation Struggle. Want to make sure that the definition of terrorists does not include people who legitimately are fighting for their rights. And therefore, we do not want to include other terrorists in the legitimate struggle of the people of Palestine and the people of Israel. Now, the other thing is that we affirm also that there is something called state sponsored terrorism. Now, countries like the U.S. do not want to accept that there is something called state-sponsored terrorism. Because they relate terrorism to what they call non-state actors. And the reason they do not want to link terrorism to activities of state is because of the example you raised, because people can legitimately raise questions about their activities in Iraq and all sorts of things. So the United Nations has broken down, there is no common agreed upon definition. There are some elements of terrorism that everybody agrees on. So basically what then most of these terrorism obligations that we have is really related to those terrorists which is not a problem. When people get unjustified, just reckless killing of people for no reason. So that is basically the issue. But the issue about the liberation that's part of the reason that the UN is so important for the resident of the state protocol for 2010 years. Our state protocol says it is a what we are now working on is of course improve our research. I think in a month coming the moment to new protocol houses in four uptown. We are in discussion, our team has been to Lanet in there. To try and make sure that they're building the proper protocol facility. As we have noted, there's a separate protocol facility in our case. What the country will answer about those things where one of those have state protocol facilities or the protocol facilities, the IP facilities that ANCA would rather the commercial basis and have a clear specific moment those will be taken over by foreign affairs and run state protocol facilities. I think that's a problem that where we cannot justify just establishing a full state protocol facility. Most of our work around 2010 to revolve around looking at all those businesses. Now, fortunately, we have already a lot of experience. We have so many meetings here with a lot of signatures, probably even more than 2010 that we are carrying out. And sometimes we can do this is part of the defense force. The defense tends to reduce what they call lines and office, which actually is what general is doing. And so we have no worries about on the global front, and that's the bulk of our resources. The other thing that we did have to make sure how much of the national affairs of countries are profile, not at the embarrassment we've had situations where we say the state visits to a country we want to mention that. And when they say our national affairs, they say the whole system. And those things can really be major, major difficulties. Secondly, foreign affairs will be the custodian of making sure that the appropriate national flags are properly presented, not upside down as sometimes you see our flags being presented. all those protocols that we have to contact us, but all those are very good. And yet, I think Honorable could help me with this is one of the questions which was around the deployment committee. And I get it that he made the point that he made. Because we had a meeting with our portfolio committee last year. And then we looked at the department. There was a lot of discussion about this. And one of the points that came to what I think is that as parliamentarians, there is no necessary objection to representation across the party divide. And because most countries try to make their foreign policy by hand, we probably are some of the few countries where we fight too much of foreign policy. And most countries try to do that as bipartisan because once the sense of national pride and national consciousness forces you to fight again inside there, but when you go outside, you try to present it for the success of your country because you want to attract investment and all that. So, in a sense, I think there's an attempt to try for us to move in that direction. Now, maybe I should indicate that the criteria is sometimes very difficult because it's a combination of a number of things. And usually the recommendations are come from different types of parties about who should. What I can give you an assurance of is that at least during the time of the foreign affairs, it would not be thinking there would be an appointment from outside the Department of Foreign Affairs, that the minister would not be sensitive to making sure that the relevant structures are support or whatever. So they tend to be a bit of consultation around that. Now, the issue of vetting, up to probably 2 years, 18 months ago, there was a crisis in South Africa where we were not vetting people. And largely because the argument was that these are individuals that they think in a different world. They are background. Those were coming from the Department of Finance, the officials of politics, because they would be vetted as officials of finance. 18 months ago, we took a very conscious policy decision not to go down, now to vet everything. So even the ones who are in mission, they started a process of vetting. Now, in terms of vetting, in terms of the Department of Finance, all our vetting up to now are done by me. There is a decision taken between NIA and SAR that starting from 2008, NIA will dedicate the responsibility of their foreign affairs to SAR, largely because SAR is the better class of the international management. But that's the process that is going. We do have a deadlock on the vetting side. But that deadlock is not because of lack of one thing on our side. It's largely because this is the capacity of NIA. NIA particularly sometime last year, when they started the process of vetting, I would imagine some of the countries that we are referring to, when they started that process of being close to 5 years, they have indicated that their capacity and diversity of the process. So the big problem we have on the vetting is really how do we make that our capacity. But what NIA has allowed foreign affairs to have is that in foreign affairs we've got a vetting which only does the preliminary work. And these are officials who've gone through the same training process either to the sense or to NIA or to the foreign. And they do the preliminary screening, but once they've done the investigation for the individual, they take their report and give it to the data to NIA. Double check the information and are the ones who take the final responsibility of giving the information. I take note of the comment that you also made on the issue of the properties in Germany. It's been a very difficult issue. This is a central property reform. It's a chancellery and it's also the official version of the government. They are owned by the state. The problem is we could not dispose of them because the crisis involved at some point plummeted. and this was quite shameful as that it sold this property to the Jewish property. And instead what we decided to do was to hold on to it, and the prices indeed have started going up significantly. We are now in the process of trying to get hold of that property. We do know, and we are towards the end of last year, there was an approach that was made to ambassador by certain groups of people, because we are aware of it, and that's one of the considerations that we're making. And so there's no finality on that. So we're trying to look at that. Of course, at the end of the day, we have to go and discuss the public with the other custodians and what they call it. And let me say that if we did get a very good project that would advance our best cousin, that would be our first cousin. The only limitation that we would have is that, which I think many people do not understand, is that the chancellor that we have in Tel Aviv is the one that is attractive in the city of Africa. It's actually in a residential area. And South Africa has to get special permission to use the Tel Aviv. And so we looked at that agreement. It was very narrow to say. So if South Africa disposes of that property, the likelihood is that the German authority will want it to be there for the residential area. And that's a issue that we're trying to work. The government negotiations, unfortunately, all of us remember this issue. But I think maybe let me come to that position now. After the issue covered, I don't remember what about the security challenge. The issue of proposing, the first has been. First of all, I think that too with the later days of President Schumacher. The French, we have taken a strategic decision that the reality of French involvement in West Africa and their involvement is that very much. And that they have tremendous capacity and can extend influence to sometimes undermine what they are trying to do. So there has been an attempt on our side to try to work. Now, of course, we disagreed on a number of points in terms of their approach, because their approach carries, in essence, to us a lot of the values of the resource of their colonial. And we had, of course, major differences with the French in the management of our mediation of the major problems. Now, President Sarkozy comes in as a young person, and one of the things that the French talked about feeling that white and I had the conversation with my counterparts of France. And all of them think one thing. They are safe to try to say the new administration. They are not saying the values that the people are saying that they are or they have already old linkages and contact with the other leaders in France. And that they are trying to make a new thing. Now, it's a message that is sending. I think there are certain signs that, for example, the way President Sarkozy dealt with the French involvement in China was probably slightly different to the way that France was involved when there was long major tension. So there are some manifestations that there's a review, and that review might be enforced by certain realities. But our view is that it is still too early to make a judgment if that stays in the position for the relative position. But that they have very clear signals, even from the French foreign minister, that tries to say, look, we are trying to make a break with the plan. I think they will still pursue their national interest, but probably the approach is maybe to realize that the old ways of doing things are not suitable to the current plan, even if they want that as well. Now, do we enjoy cooperation with the DPI? I think it's fair to say, when I came into the department 5 years, 4 and a half years ago, the relations with the DPI, they were all sorts of problems. I think there are some improvements. And part of the improvements, for example, the curriculum that we are putting in our, the part of the curriculum we're doing in our training institute, has been well translated with the DPI. DPI participates now in our preparation of our business. This, I think, has come to accept that, and we've come to reach an agreement with this, and this I can never have the same reach as foreign affairs currently. And so, this I will focus on specific areas, But there's an understanding in GCI that they need to be strong partners so that you can carry out the trade related work in the area where people are economic. So I think that is important. It's not optimal, but I think the environment is far much better. For example, just in our next management meeting, as of my promotion, the major presentation by GCI, just in developing the international strategy. And before they finalize the list, and they felt the need to come and discuss with us before they finalize it. So there are many positive signals. All the projects in China are working extremely well. So I think there's been a lot of improvement. I answered the question who makes the people in the group. We the people come here, we don't necessarily get the right set of the project. The issue of if you look at the problem that they have with the capital association, it has manifested in some kind of abuse of the political system. And now, given that we are both party members, we don't think it's good. And I think there's been now the recognition that that's not the case. I'm sure you do know that there was a mission. That involves the code of production. So there is a change to say, look, maybe we've not paid as much attention to this issue. And I think the sense that we get is that both countries recognize that there's some sort of mutual interdependence, that you say, that we need to work through whatever the situation is. We don't think they are very big, but we think it's still kind of an institution. Did you talk about creation to the first time in my presentation I cited that it is not possible now. Every time there is a sign of instability in a country, there is a standard procedure in the South African government that includes foreign affairs, defense, security, send people to make a security assessment, work out the evacuation. Those evacuation plans do not always necessarily mean South African aircraft should move in the circumstances of the and we can't, we just don't have the capacity to have aircraft to stand by all the airlines. So we have partnerships with other countries. The understanding is that those countries also, in cases where we are strong, we would assist them. For example, there are many countries that approach South Africa during the time of the DRC. Because they knew we had capacity that was supporting our election of records, that included our efforts. So we would have helped them if they were there and in the program. So in the case of Chad, France has and for some presence in Chad, significant, in as much as we had a presence in Japan. So it is a thing for our podcast to bring up with them and for them to assist. The issue of the South African war in Iraq, you are correct in terms of the affiliation of the South African war. We discouraged South African companies in Iraq for both. Both we discouraged from visiting, we discouraged them from also participating as part of the security system. But the reality is that South Africans are doing that largely because of the packages that appear to be substantial. So you look and say, if I find money to leave, then there's a lot of money for the tenant. And I can tell you that at some point, the Deputy Minister was perhaps very jealous. And we were amazed at how many of us who were in the bank and everyone that came to work first in the bank, especially at that time, 2 years ago. So they would come to show that everyone that came to just take a place before going to. And some of them were operating planes, and most of the people were in the central establishment are employed by largely American or UK based sort private sector. So that is the issue. We ourselves, because of the technology situation, have not been able to see in the open issue. We are managing the land from Jordan and from So, in spite of that, but of course the new current report is out there, I'm not going to remember that. Unfortunately, even if people have acted against our better advice when there is a problem that involves a South African. We have an obligation to try to see what happens. So for that, basically, what we are going to do. My theory is really the issue that we have here. Honorable member, it's a very good question. I'll just answer the issue. On the human rights council, the issue around the areas that you have done are areas of focus. We are highlighting them also because they are contested. Honorable members will also recall that even when we shake our own constitution, there was a big debate even here in general about the inclusion of social economic rights. So this is a debate that is all over because once you start including issues of rights to develop, the developed countries of the North know exactly what to do in terms of their obligations, and that some of those rights to development would actually challenge a lot of their services. So they are likely to block that and want to concentrate on the so-called political and civil rights about good government, elections, and democracy, those sorts of things. So this is a very contested on the government's own location, indeed, those attempts have not led to the breakthrough that we need, but of course in the business case today I heard an article about that the WTO always said that there's a faster learning addressing the issues of social justice seems to be hopeful again that there are some elements of positive, possibly a breakthrough that are there, but I think it's not clear to us that we are in that point again, but I think we see what will happen. I'll ask this proposal to give some of the students. Also, sorry, Mr. Chairman, I just give you the AU government. Okay. On the AU government, in the AU summit in Tamil, again, the issue of the EU government was the same polarization. A lot of countries, including private countries, feeling that yes, we agree to this idea of an African government as a long-term objective, but there are certain things we need to do now. Of course, the group like the around Senegal and Libya, which feels that let's move faster on this issue. Now, the head of state then had agreed in their summit in Accra last July that one of the things that needed to be done is a detailed audit that we can't talk about Greece, talk about the United States of Africa, before we've assessed whether the institutions that were created are necessary to give to us, whether they are functional or not. So there was that audit. Now, unfortunately, that audit, the report of the audit came relatively late, so the head of state could not finalize the journal. Instead, they suggested that the Minister of Foreign Affairs should meet before the July summit to discuss that topic so that in July agenda state, the United States can apply their mind again on the case of the United States of Africa. That meeting is scheduled for the 19th to 21 of July, of April, the one of the foreign ministers in Abuja and Tanzania. So I think the debate has really did not move over the past 8-9 months from where we were before, when last because we have here in the national. So I think if there's going to be any move, that is likely going to come for the future. But of course, the view of South Africa and the view of the other countries is that if we talk about the United States of Africa, it is not so much the institutional architecture that we are interested in, it's our ability to deliver development. And therefore, if you are trying to look at development, then you must look at what are the building blocks that will guarantee that this new architecture delivers development better than the existing architecture. And our view seems to be that the best way to deal with that is yes, to identify some issues that you can start moving on fast, but build the regional economic community, which is why the issue of regional integration for us and further is so critical, because in our view, it is far much more difficult to bring about common purpose among 53 countries, but we can't bring common purpose among 14 countries.
also saw that Madam Teri can push that. But it's not for the reason.
Thank you. I have four questions that I want to address. The one is regarding retention, the issue being what are some of the difficulties that we are experiencing at the department. And just to say that on average, our turnover rate within the department is between 7 and 8%. Which is fairly low compared to the entire public service and even the private sector itself. And so between 7 and 8%. Now the main reason we have people in the department to do with salary. We have people that are quite attractive to the private sector and to other government departments, given the experience that they have from the department and the exposure that they have from the department. So we're not too worried about that, but given the amount of time and energy that we spend in terms of attracting and doing things in foreign affairs, clearly would like to change it. But it's between 7 and 8, and it's largely because of salaries that they get offered either in the private sector or higher salary levels that they get offered in other government departments. With regard to employee wellness, the lifestyle program that we have for children of our staff members, the question was how we treat children. We didn't put a number, a limit to start off with, because we were targeting teenagers, and the rationale was that there would be so many of us that are teenagers at any point in time. What we did, it was an open invitation to all staff members to say, here's the program, here's the content of the program, these are the dates, let us know if your children are able to come. And we are quite pleased. The kids, in total, we are around 200 kids that attended the program. We did it together with the UN, one of the UN agencies that is based in South Africa. So we were able to accommodate all the children that expressed interest in into smaller groups. So we didn't have the challenge of bringing away other children that were interested. With regard to the dating series, to say what has been the progress so far, let me give some numbers since then. Since that time, we advertised about 339 positions within this pattern, and in fact, still 423 vacancies. But of the 423 vacancies that we filled, only 277 of that were coming from outside, because 146 were promotions. And so essentially, it tells you that already we still have vacancies. That's number one. Number two, as we were filling some of those vacancies, we particularly had a challenge with a particular level in the department, which is that level of assistant directors. We require quite a number of people at assistant director level. And whenever we advertise and we sit, and it hasn't tried already, where we are not able to get enough people that we feel comfortable in the department that they can operate at the level of assistant director. So in the last cycle, when we wanted to fill those positions, we were not able to get enough people. Even this year, we just advertised, we did shortlisting last week, and again, we didn't get enough people that we felt had comfortable that they would be able to operate at the level of assistant director. So it continues to be a challenge, but what we are hoping, and indeed, I think that's the first thing that happens, that the cadets that they are pointing is actually a good pipeline for this assistant director. So in essence, I'm saying we will continue to have a challenge of agencies to promote talent, but also to promote the level of that we're going to find suitable people for. The question of the placement of cadets and who we place them and what agreement we have with them and when we do them, what happens. Just to say that the cadet program and then there's also a leadership program, so we're running this programs together. With the cadets, indeed the intention, as you said, is to place them. Ideally, we want to place all the cadets that we take on board. But here is the criteria, always they have to pass the course of the agency, they have to pass the interviews that we put them through for them to take. So we tend to place the majority of them. There were only about five that we didn't find suitable after the entire training program. We give them full-time employment at a particular level, which means that they sign an offer, it's an employment contract that they sign with us. But we do not, at this stage, put handcuffs or like any conditions that, to that employment contract like we don't do with other employees, even though they didn't take the cadet program, maybe something that we need to look at. But at this point in time, we don't do so. And similarly on the learnership, we also don't put any conditions, because indeed the learnership is meant for you to train people and absorb those that you train, but basically you are helping people to be ready for employment anywhere else. And that's the same principle that we are touching with the cadets, that even those that didn't make it with us, we can go into the employment somewhere else. We do conduct exercises. So far we haven't had cadets leaving, but just to say we are aware that they are a target of other departments, the cadets that we have, where they are being offered higher positions again. But should that happen, we do have a machinery in place that will conduct every interview for people that are leaving or decreasing the team. And essentially, that then the outcome of that activity informs our retention strategy that we need to improve all the time. So that's, yeah, I think I've answered all the four questions. Thank you.
Thanks, there were two questions. The one regarding the 31 million rand write-off. I remember you were right on that one. And that is the reason for commissioning the foreign orders into the 31 into the payments. Actually, when we had occurred some time ago, prior to 2006, a very complicated foreign friendly order was conducted, which was verified by the Auditor General. As a very last minute, we went to Treasury to get advice on the 31 million. And that is where we came to this figure. Just to say that a lot of the people that were involved in this process of QC are no longer with the department. And so that's a matter that we have with a new lot of people. The Council of the International Organization, Honorable Member, our budget for this for the International Organization for 2007 was something like 475 million, which is highly, highly sensitive to foreign exchange fluctuations. So every time there is a fluctuation in the foreign exchange rate, it impacts on the and therefore we either will have a saving or a which may be upfront with national treasury. The savings of course will say that to them and they will fund it. But just to say that our contributions, whatever our contributions, our assessed contributions to international organizations will weigh at the same time as possible.
One of the difficulties we have on the difficult of the change of annual budget, not so much because some of these organizations are no longer there. For example, if we change the annual, in terms of our budget process, we need treasury round about August, September, for them to begin to have a sense of the numbers in the field of the budget process. So we use the last year's budget, our contribution, and make some sort of estimation of what the increase is likely going to be. The AU budget only gets approved, like for example, the operating budget of this year, only got approved now in January, at the end of January, the AU budget. So if, for example, sometimes you find that in our estimation report, I think it would be 16 million rand. That will have 15 million US dollars to contribute to the end. And then when the member states discuss the budget, they decide to cut the number of items. And maybe the budget of the AU goes down, and then at the end of that, then they say to us, no, someone's got to pay 40 million US dollars. So it's those sort of disappointment that some of them are unable to do it. And then at the end, because this is the amount of money, so then they have the obligation to return it.
Thank you very much. Any other member who wants to have the second bite? Which is 71?
I just need to make a follow-up comment on the 51 manuscript in the report. I want to know that is there now a way to prevent that in the future this kind of money will grow up and be written off again, or are they going to be in future over 2-3 years? Are they going to be written off amount again like this? And then because the people working there now can leave again and they won't be found and they will be written off amount again. So I'm again concerned to see if you can get that.
No, let me give you that. Remember two things that the TFSA has not always been. Now, currently, we are applying far much more stringent measures. As a consequence, the magistrate of the TFSA has taken the title of the audit source by the TFSA. Now, some of these money predated the time of the TFSA. And so the requirement even for paper. Okay, was not a drawback. In terms of the current situation, it would be very difficult for us to calculate debt like that. And the auditors there were not taking it up and manifesting a qualified audit. It should be near impossible. So the systems that we have in this department have improved greatly. Secondly, we have now improved the system of in terms of the transactions between our mission and federal. Expenditures that happen in a mission within the month are brought to us in head office. And within a month, we try to inform the relevant departments before people say they no longer remember who undertook that written call for them, so that any problems with the record taking that is apart. So I can give you the assurance it's not going to. We are not going to accumulate another thing. Because indeed, as Mr. Munchi said, this is a process that the National President wanted and Auditor General before they actually could give us the permission to write it. They really wanted us to follow every conceivable step. But by the way, we even went as far as the current report. And only at that point it was quite clear that.
Any other? Yeah, before I send the Director General, his colleagues in the department, let me say something very personal. And I wouldn't mind if this could reach the ears of the minister. You know, I personally was very impressed about the voting presence of South Africa in the legislative committee council. Specifically with two votes. At first, there was a vote on Myanmar in terms of the junta that is empowered and illuminated the world things that went through that debate. And when the vote came, South Africa, Russia, and China, the three of them in the world of practice, we voted against. Now, the most important thing to me is that we were able to vote in a manner that aligned us to the people we know have been helping us in many, many respects for today to be where we are. If there could have been an error of judgment on our part, or the missing up of the logic of analyzing the situation in terms of the issues to be voted against, we did that within the parameters of our described policy as South Africa. Secondly, I don't remember what it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. There was a vote also in the Security Council on the UGI by Kosovo. And we voted against. It was ourselves, Russia,
China, Vietnam, and Indonesia. Now, these two events, to me, meant a lot. And they tell me that we begin to look at the situation within which we operate and begin to know who is who now and who was who then when we had the conflict of politics. I would like you to know the minister. Thank you very much. The DG for the information you gave us, the everything you brought along, that was able to answer our questions in a different manner. Madam Father, before we leave for the other one, I wish, no? Last today, and we wish that time we come, a similar group or the same group, so that our answers have been maintained in a manner that we like the differences that we did with each one. Thank you very much. I hope your home is never will be. Thank you very much. I have been advised very nicely that our, before we leave, let's have a bite, the sooner line just outside here. Think of
the two lines.
Thank you. And now the problem is
the same.
Oh,
I was sending you that email address.
Oh.
They are looking. It's from 3 to 11. 2:30 to 11 at 9.
Normally I'm just doing farmland.